This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Red Brick Media. High quality CDs, DVDs, lectures, khutbah, conferences, and Quran recitations. All revenue generated supports our dawah work, supported by visiting our store. You can now purchase directly from our site, www.redbrickmedia.co.uk.
Inna alhamdulillah. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us in a hadith in Sahih Muslim about a man. This man had killed 99 people. But he wanted to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he sought the most knowledgeable person on the face of this earth. So he was shown a man. He was brought to a man. And he asked that man, he said, I have killed 99 people. Is there repentance for me? Can I repent? And so that man said to him, 99 people? No. And so he killed him also. He completed 100. I mean, what's the difference between 99 and 100? It's easy to kill just one more. If you're already used to killing 100, I mean, he killed 99 already before him. So he killed him also. But you know, he still had a burning desire. Burning desire, and he still had hopes. There must be a way. Because there's a burning desire in his heart to return to Allah and to change for the better. So he continued to ask for the most knowledgeable person until he was shown a scholar. The scholars have said the first guy was a worshipper but not a scholar. And so they mentioned this as an example of the dangers of ignorance. And it cost him his life because of his ignorance. And so he came to this man who was a scholar and he said, I killed 99 people already. And then I went to the other man and I killed him also and he completed 100. He told him the story. And he said, is there hope for me? Is there repentance for me? So that scholar, that man said to him, what can come between you and repentance? Meaning there's always, the door of repentance is always open for you, but you have to move from the land of the bad people to the land of the good people. So he's showing him how to repent. Remember, one of the conditions of repentance is that you have to make a conviction not to return to that sin. In Islam, we have al-istighfar and we have at-tawbah. The Prophet ﷺ, he He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, by he in whose hand is my soul, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةِ. I, by he in whose hand is my soul, I make istighfar and I make tawbah in a day 100 times. In another narration, over 70 times. In other words, 70 and 100, it means it's a lot. Not necessarily these specific numbers, but you make it a lot. Always be in a state of asking Allah for forgiveness. But what is istighfar and tawbah? Istighfar is asking Allah to forgive your sins verbally. At-tawbah is putting it into action, showing that you're sincere, having that conviction to not return to that sin, and putting that istighfar that you ask Allah for into action. And so He is telling him, you have to make tawbah. In order for your tawbah to be correct and to be proper, you have to move from the land of the bad people to the land of the good people. You know, this is not something that's easy. If you're used to being in an area, or if you grew up in a town or a city, it could be your hometown, if you have to pick up and move, it's not something that's easy. But because he wanted to change, and he was willing to sacrifice all his friends, moving away from them, moving away from the place that he's used to, he was, this is what you call repentance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. He loved it so much that this person, listen to what happened to this person. This person, he made that conviction to move, when he reached halfway, he died. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel, both angels, the angel of mercy and the angel of punishment. They both came to take his soul. The angel of mercy said he was already on his way towards repentance. He was on his way to the land of the good people. Already he had started his repentance. And the angel of punishment said, this man has not done any good whatsoever. I should take him. And so there was a dispute between these two angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a third angel who came in the form of a man to settle the dispute. And so he said to them, why don't you measure the distance between this person and the land of the bad people and this person and the land of the good people. Whichever of the two he's closest to, then you take him accordingly. So they measured. And it so happens that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He loves those who repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the earth to shrink the distance between that person and the land of the good people. So that they, when they measured, the distance between him and the land of the good people was shorter, and the angel of mercy took his soul. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Because he repented and he was sincere and he put it to action. So don't ever lose hope. If a person who had killed 99 people could be forgiven if they make the conviction and repent to Allah sincerely, then also we should never lose hope. In fact, anyone who loses hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually, believe it or not, anyone who loses hope is a kafir. Why is a person who loses hope, why is he a kafir? Because a person who loses hope and he doesn't repent because he thinks that his sins are so great, it's as if he's saying, Ya Allah, my sins are so great, Your mercy can't even encompass it. A'udhu billah. How could you say such a thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Do not lose hope in the comforting mercy of Allah. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Nobody loses hope in the comforting mercy of Allah except disbelievers. So no matter what state you are in, no matter what is happening to you in your life, do not lose hope in the comforting mercy of Allah. Do not lose hope. Some people, they lose hope and they kill themselves. And they commit suicide. Don't lose hope, because Allah knows what you're going through. And He knows that you can handle it. Because He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He is more merciful towards us than we are merciful towards our own selves. Allah knows what we're going through. And if you lose hope, when you lose hope in the situation that you're in, it's as if you're saying, Ya Allah, you don't know what I'm going through. A'udhu billah. How could you say such a thing? Allah knows what you're going through. And Allah knows that you can handle it. Because Allah will never burden a soul above its capacity. So never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to repent and return to Him and to not lose hope. And He's so happy when we make that conviction to change, when we still have hopes in Him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happy, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, than a person who has lost his camel and he is in the desert. And on his camel is all the livelihood that he has. And he has lost his hope in the sense that he does not think that he will ever find his camel. And so he goes to sleep, waiting for death to come. And then when he wakes up, he sees the camel with all the livelihood upon it in front of his face. And he is so happy that he says, Ya Allah, I am your Lord and you are my servant. He's so happy that his tongue is a slip of the tongue. He says, Ya Allah, I am your Lord and you are my servant. He meant to say it the other way, but he was so happy. And so Allah is more happy when we repent to Him than that person. So when we love somebody, we all say we love Allah. When we love someone, don't we want to make that person happy? Of course we do. So for us, if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be happy and pleased with us, then we should repent to Him. And we have to show, not just say istighfar, just say astaghfirullah, no, just verbally, but make tawbah, put it into action. And so, hoping in Allah, when a person hopes in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, You don't just sit down and you hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter you paradise. But when you truly hope, put your hopes in Allah, you do all that you can. You do all that. That's a part of hoping and being hopeful. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He's describing what it means to have hope. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Surely those who have faith, those who believe, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Then they migrate, they make hijrah, and they strive and fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Those are the people who hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it means to have hope. That's what it means to put your hopes in Allah. You do all that you humanly can. You do all that you humanly can. Then you hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he didn't say those are the people. No, those who hope in Allah are the ones who sit in the masajids and just supplicate only. Look, he says those who have faith and they make hijrah. And they make jihad. Those are the people whom we call those who are hopeful of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if you want Jannah, if you want paradise, you do all that you can and you put your hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some people who say, you know, I put my trust and I'm hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me, inshallah, a righteous or a pious son or a pious child. And so, if someone were to say, you know, I want a child, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go to the masjid every single day and supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, Allah will give me a pious child. Can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that? He can, but you would consider that person not being hopeful. No, he's foolish. Because he thinks that by supplicating to Allah and just making dua only and not taking the proper means, that Allah will send a stork to you and drop a child in the masjid, then you're living in fairy tale land. There's no stork that's going to come and drop a child for you. If you want the child, you get married. And if you want a pious child, right, the first thing you do is look for a pious wife. So that she'll be a pious mother, that she will properly take care of the child and teach the child properly. So you take all the proper means, and even if you did all of that and you got married, are you promised to have a child? You might not even get a child. You might have married somebody who is barren, or you yourself cannot have a child. But you have to do all of that first and supplicate to Allah. And that's what we call putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having hopes and putting your hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when you put your hopes in Allah, no matter what your situation is, you have to have hope. You should never lose hope. There are some people who lose hope and they say that, you know, I've been so bad. But as long as you're remorseful, as long as you make the conviction to be the best that you can be, Allah is there to help you. Allah wants you to repent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you in your path towards repentance. But you have to make that first step. You have to make that change. During the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, there was a man. Now this man, he had been disobedient to Allah for many years. And so there was a drought that occurred. And Bani Israel went complaining to the Prophet, to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And they said to him, they said, the elderly are suffering, the children are starving, the plants and vegetables, the vegetation is shriveled up, The animals are dying. Supplicate to Allah that He will send rain down upon us. And so the Prophet Musa alayhi salam gathered Bani Israel. He gathered them in an open plain. And he supplicated to Allah. He said, "Ya Allah, the elderly are suffering and the children are starving and the animals are dying and the vegetation is drying up. Send rain down upon us." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Musa. Allah told Prophet Musa, "There is a man amongst you. He has disobeyed me for 40 years. Tell him to leave the congregation, then I will send down rain upon you." And so Prophet Musa alayhi salam made an announcement to the people in the gathering. And he said, "Whoever this person is, please leave the congregation. For indeed, Allah will not send down rain upon us until you leave the congregation. The children are starving. The elderly are suffering. The animals are dying. And the vegetation is all shriveled up, drying up. Leave the congregation so that Allah will send down rain upon us." So that person looked left and he looked right. He looked left and he looked towards the right. And he knew it was no one else except for him. He was the one that was supposed to leave the congregation. So he covered his head up. And he started to cry. He couldn't leave, otherwise everyone would know who he was. So he was remorseful. And he repented to Allah sincerely. To the point where tears were coming down his eyes. And when the tears dropped down from his eyes, Allah sent the rain down at that time. Prophet ﷺ then said, "Ya Allah, nobody left the congregation. Why did you send the rain down?" So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "I sent the rain down because of the same person. Because of his sincere repentance. I sent the rain down because of that person." So Prophet Musa alayhi salam said, "Ya Allah, show us who this repenting servant of yours is so that we may be thankful to him." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded. And he said, "Oh Musa, he disobeyed me for 40 years and I covered up his sins. Now that he has repented, do you think I'm going to show you who he is? For 40 years I covered up his sins. Now that he's repented, do you think I'm going to show you who he is?" Allah is waiting for us. Don't lose hope. It doesn't matter if you're 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. Return to Allah and repent to Allah. And make the conviction to be the best person that you can be. Put it into action. Allah is there to accept our repentance. Allah is there and He's happy. He's so happy that He's more happy than a person who has been given another chance at life. I want you to imagine ourselves, any one of us now. Imagine that the doctor came and told us that we have cancer and we have 2 weeks to live. How would you feel? What would you do? You have 2 weeks to live. And he said, "You can just go home and wait for death to come. You have 2 weeks. If you like fish and chips, eat all the fish and chips you want. Right? But you got 2 weeks to live." You would be very sad, right? Now imagine 1 week later, the doctor calls and says, "That was actually a misdiagnosis. You don't have cancer. You don't have..." How happy would you be? In America, you would sue the doctor, but that's a different matter. But you would be so happy because you have been given a second chance at life. Allah is more happy when we repent to Him. So don't think that your sins are so great that you can't return to Allah. But you have to put it into action. You have to put it into action. And Allah is there for us every single day. Every single night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends down to the lower heavens. And He asks, is there anyone who is asking for forgiveness so that I may forgive him? You know, if we were to go to a house that we know is in need, maybe they're poor, and we want to help them. Every night, when we go to them and we bring money to them and food to them, and then when they see us coming, they turn off the lights and they go to sleep. Right? When they see us coming, everyone turns off the lights. Okay, you go back home, right? When you see them turning off their lights and everyone's going to sleep. The next day, you come to them again. Next day, you come to them again, bringing them money, food, just helping them out because you know they're in need. And then when they start seeing, somebody looks outside and they see you coming. And so everyone, they start turning off the lights and they go to sleep and they close their doors. And so you turn back, say maybe tomorrow they'll open the door, maybe I can help them. You go to them again and they do the exact same thing. After four times, what would you do? What would you do after three or four times? You want to help this family, but every time you go to them, they're always closing the door and they want you out. They want you to go. They don't want you. What would you do? And you know they need help. What would you do? Well, let me go find somebody else, right? You would stop going to them. And two or three times, maybe first, second time, maybe you'd find an excuse. But then you start to realize, you know, they're purposely turning off the lights when they see me. It's not like coincidence here anymore. They know I'm coming and they're turning off the lights. You know, we are in need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends down to the lower heavens every single night. And He's asking us, He's ready to give us what we need. But we turn off the lights and we go to sleep. And we continue to do that every single night, but Allah still comes down every night. Maybe one of these nights we will stand up in prayer and supplicate to Him. Maybe one of these nights. Allah doesn't stop every single night. And we just sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. He wants us to repent. He wants to give us what we need. He wants us to have Jannah. He wants to give it to us. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah illa man aba." My whole ummah will enter paradise except for those who refuse. قِيلَ وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who would refuse? O Messenger of Allah. مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. He said, whoever obeys me, he will have paradise. وَمَنْ أَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. And whoever disobeys me, then he has refused. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ. Allah invites us to enter paradise. Allah wants us to enter paradise. He invites us to enter paradise. But we refuse. We are the ones who refuse. Allah is merciful. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith al-Qudsi, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah says, يَبْنَ آدَمْ, O son of Adam, إِنَّكَ مَا دَعُوتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي. You, O son of Adam, you do not supplicate to me, and you are not hopeful of me, and you do not hope from me. غَفَرْتُ لَكَ مَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. If you were to have hopes in me, and supplicate to me, I would forgive you I would forgive you your sins, and I wouldn't care, I wouldn't mind. Ya ibn Adam, O son of Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك, if your sins were to reach عنان السماء, to the heights of the heavens, ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك. And if you were to sincerely, if you were to ask forgiveness of me, I would forgive you. Yabna Adam, O children of Adam, O son of Adam, لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا, if you were to come to me with an earth, if you were to come to me with sins that would cover the whole earth, ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بشيء لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. Then if you come to me without associating with me at all whatsoever, I would give you the same in repentance, the same. So no matter what our sins are, do not lose hope. At the same time, do not overestimate your piety and righteousness. Only Allah can help us. Only Allah can guide us. Only Allah can show us the straight path. Only Allah can keep us on the straight path. Don't overestimate your piety and righteousness and think I can do it. No, you supplicate to Allah. You stand in humbleness and humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to accept our repentance. But when we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the intention and the conviction to be the best person that you can be. You know, there's a great scholar. This scholar, his nickname was Abidul Haramain. Do you know what Abidul Haramain means? Worshipper of Mecca and Medina. He was known for his piety and righteousness. So much so that he got the nickname Abidul Haramain, the worshipper of Mecca and Medina, the worshipper of the two holiest sites on the face of this earth. But you know what? He wasn't like that before. He informed one of his students, or some of his students, about how he was before. And some of them knew how he was before. Before, he was very ruthless. He was very, very ruthless. He was a highway robber. Not any highway robber. A highway robber between Mecca and Medina. How bad can you be to rob people going to Mecca to make Umrah and Hajj? But that's who he was in his young days. One day, he was on top of a roof. And he looked down. He was about to jump into the house. He was looking down. And he saw a man standing up in prayer. And he was crying. And so, he said, "Let me listen to what this man, why is he crying?" So the old man was crying, and he was reciting the Qur'an in prayer. And he came across a verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Isn't it time for the believers to have their hearts soften and tremble in the verse, in the remembrance of Allah? Isn't it time? In other words, isn't it time for them to change? And so when he heard this verse, Abid al-Haramain, his name was Al-Fudayl ibn Ayyad. Al-Fudayl, he said, "Yes, it is time, yes, it is time." That verse struck his heart. And so he jumped from the house, and he was walking away from the house thinking about his life. And then he came and he saw a fire in the distance, and there was a tent there. And he went to that tent And so he laid down next to the tent and he heard the two people inside the tent discussing and talking to each other. One of them said, "Let's go, we're already late. We should continue our journey." The other person said, "Do you know where we are? We are in the place where Al-Fudayl settles. This is his area." Do you know who Fudayl was? You know Fudayl during those days? Fudayl, he was so ruthless that mothers used to scare their children by using his name. Do you know, like in our time, like sometimes when your kids don't go to, sometimes for some parents, okay, you don't do this, but some parents would do this, right? "You don't go to sleep, I'm going to get the boogeyman over." Right, he was that boogeyman. Al-Fudayl, the kids used to hear his name like that. "You're Fudayl? Oh, yeah, we don't want to mess with him." And so these guys, he was ruthless. He was so well known for his treachery. And so, when he heard them discussing this, he said, "Ya Allah, you brought me here for a reason. These people's hearts should be trembling in the fear of Allah, not me, not Fudayl." So he goes home and he takes a shower. He goes to the masjid and he cries until Fajr. And he repents to Allah. This is the true repentance. You know what he does? He repents to Allah and he studies with the scholars. He changes his whole life to the point where he became so pious, he was the Imam of Mecca and Medina. All of us here, you can change, we can change, and don't just change to be better. Change to be the best. Change to be the best. To the point where, if you're sitting at home and there's a football game going on, and it's Maghrib time, you ask yourself, where would the best person in Birmingham, in England, where would he be at this moment? Where would the best Muslim be? He would be in the masjid. You know, inshallah, you say to yourself, inshallah, I want to be that best person. And then you go to the masjid. Don't just change to be better. Change to be the best. And that's what Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad did. He said, you know what? I'm going to change from the worst to the best. To be the best that I can be. And you can do it. Put your hopes in Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help you. Put your trust in Allah. But remember what trust means. Putting your trust in Allah and putting your hopes in Allah, you do all that you can to be the best that you can be. Does anyone here know Al-Mahdi? Have you heard that, of that person before? Who is Al-Mahdi? Who is Al-Mahdi? Do you know who he is? Who is Al-Mahdi? He's okay, right now, you have all of this. This oppression that's going on in the world, right? All the oppression that's going on in the world right now. There will come a Khalifa who will be a pious Khalifa who will bring justice to the world. He will unite the Muslims, the black and the white and the Arabs and non-Arabs. All the Muslims will come together. And he will be the leader of the Muslims. And it will be so just that the wealth that the Muslims have will be spread and divided so just with such justice that there will be so much extra wealth that when you ask for wealth, when it's given, you give it without even counting. Take as much as you want. Without anyone counting, oh, you should take only this much. No, there's so much that you will not be able to find a poor person to give money to. Your zakat, you will not find anyone because there will be so much justice. Do you know that's Al-Mahdi? You know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him. His name is Muhammad. It's going to be Muhammad ibn Abdullah. The same name as the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described one of his characteristics. He said, يُصْلِحُهُ فِي يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. Allah will rectify his condition in one day and one night. In other words, one day, Allah will make him. Maybe, wallahu alam, maybe he's a normal Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He's just Muhammad ibn Abdullah. But one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change him and he will be Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mahdi. Just maybe a regular Muhammad ibn Abdullah, but he will be Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mahdi, leader of the Muslims, al-Khalifat al-Rashid. That will unite the Muslims. You know why I'm telling you this? Not so that you hope, inshallah, I'll be a Mahdi. No, no. No, it's not. Not to say, okay, you're going to be them. No, but you can make a change and you can be the best person that you can be. That one day and one night, let that be today. Put your hopes in Allah and you can do it. We all can do it with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to make that conviction and we have to make that change. Allah every single night descends to the lower heavens and He wants us to stand up and just ask and you'll get. Every night, but we just turn off the lights. Every night, but then we just go to sleep. Let's start. When Allah descends, we stand up and we ask. Instead of repeating that again. But Allah is so merciful, even though for 40 years we've been sleeping. If we did it tonight, Allah is there waiting for us. Allah will descend down even tonight. Even after 60 years, no matter what you did before, I'm pretty sure none of us killed 999 or 100 yet. Inshallah, hopefully not. And nobody was ruthless like Al-Fudayl. But he became Fudayl ibn Ayyad, the highway robber, to Fudayl ibn Ayyad, Abidul Haramain. So why? Why can't we make that change? Start studying the deen. Start be applying. And when it's time to put to practice, you say to yourself, where would the best Muslim be? What would the best Muslim in England be doing right now? Inshallah, Ya Allah, I want to be that person. I want to be that person. And I'm going to make the effort to be that person. Why change for the better when you can change for the best? And that's what we say, hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do all that you can. And Allah, when you walk towards Allah, Allah runs to you. You just have to make that change. And don't lose hope. Don't ever lose hope. Don't think I can't do it and I'm like this and I'm like that. Oh, before I was this and I was that. No. No matter what you did before, you can still be the best. You can still be the best. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and keep us firm on the straight path. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us also in the highest level in paradise with the prophets and messengers and the martyrs and the salihin, the pious people. وَحَسَنُوا أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.